Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Yesterday, we republished on National Vanguard two very thoughtful essays, one by Giles Corey and the other by Dr. Thomas Dalton, on ways that whites can move forward in these dangerous and revolutionary times. The National Alliance, the sponsor of this program and this online magazine, does not necessarily endorse everything in those pieces, but they are well done. They provide practical suggestions, some of which we can add to the arsenal of what the National Alliance is already doing. Our readers deserve to see them, and all of us who love our race and want to see it continue need to start a conversation. Well begun by Dr. Dalton and Mr. Corey. Mr. Corey says he is a Christian, but to his great credit, he acknowledges that organized Christianity, along with the Republican Party, is leading the charge of white dispossession. How true. We saw a powerful example of that just this week when Dan Cathy, the very Christian CEO of the fast food pushing Chick-fil-A company, much beloved by conservatives, Christians, and Republicans, said in a television interview that whites should apologize to non-whites, repent for racism, and fight for our black brothers and sisters. He added, quote, "We as Caucasians, until we're willing to just pick up the baton and fight for our black African-American brothers and sisters, which they are as one human race, we're shameful." Close quote. He followed that up by literally bowing down and washing the feet of a black rapper who was also a guest on the program. This is the same man who probably garnered millions in dead chicken sales from whites when he rather faintly pushed back against homosexual marriage a few years ago. He's learned his lesson well, and now proudly supports an LGBTQPXYZ plus charity, saying his Christian faith informs all of his decisions on such matters. This is surrender. This is capitulation. This is abandonment of his own people, who are about to be immolated and enslaved even more than they have been already. This is treason. Clearly, his Christian faith is a bulwark against nothing. My late friend and broadcaster, Richard Cotton, once told me how he was educated on this point by our mutual friend, the writer and scholar Revelo P. Oliver. Cotton began his resistance to white dispossession and Jewish power from a Christian conservative position. When the churches started to make it obvious that they were taking up the anti-white, pro-communist side, he co-founded the Committee of Christian Laymen of Kern County, California. He even called his radio program, which at its height was heard all across North America on dozens of commercial radio stations, Conservative Viewpoint. Back in the 1960s, when he was designing a newsletter to be sent out to his listeners and supporters, Mr. Cotton told Dr. Oliver that he wanted to underscore the fundamentals of what he was fighting for by featuring the words Christ and the Constitution on the masthead. No, Dr. Oliver replied. Race. Cotton hesitated and then said tentatively, Christ, the Constitution, and race?
No, race.
Christ and race?
Race.
And so it was. For that alone is what is truly fundamental.
Race alone.
Thanks to Revelo Oliver, even more than a half century ago, far ahead of conservatives then or conservatives now, Richard Cotton received an awakening, a speed education, if you will, in who we truly are and what we must preserve in order to survive. Absent such an understanding, we are food on the table to those of other races who do understand, either intellectually or instinctively, what we, in our Christian and propositional folly, fail to grasp. Nothing matters more than projecting your blood, your genes, your progeny into the future forever. If you fail in that, you fail in everything. No religion, no economic system, no parchment constitution, not even great artistic or cultural achievements mean a thing absent racial survival, absent survival of our kind. If you think that free enterprise for brown people or traditional marriage with a non-feminist and non-white Filipina or sound money for a nest of third worlders, good luck with that, are worthy goals, you're headed straight for the graveyard. The only thing that can save you from the graveyard of the failed and the forgotten is white children. Children of your own kind who will carry on when you, as an individual, are gone. If, after seeing the statues of anyone or anything in the European tradition come down over the last few weeks, you still think that Trashante and Jesus and Goldstein are going to treasure, much less carry on, the traditions of European science and music and art and freedom in any meaningful way, you're certifiable. And even if they did somehow carry them on, who cares if we have no descendants to expand and evolve those traditions and accomplishments? Who cares? Something great, something immortal, something sacred, something partaking of the will of the Creator, and may I say, a most important part of that will be dead. Our destiny, our future, will be dead. Earth may well descend toward being a lifeless orb with no chance for life to seed the stars. The stakes are indeed that great. Awaken, and if you are already awakened, act before it is too late. In Dr. Dalton's piece, he says, quote, "We need not worry excessively about who counts as white. In the vast majority of cases, it is obvious. Those whose ancestry derives from indigenous European peoples and nations. There are ambiguous cases, such as Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia, that deserve more discussion. More important, though, is who is not white. Jews are not white, despite their own frequent proclamations to the contrary. Arabs or other Middle Easterners are not white. Hispanics and Latinos are not white. White is not simply a matter of skin color. It is also a question of heritage, of worldview, of culture, and of values. Don't be fooled by light skin or blonde hair. Close quote. We must address the often thorny question of who is white. In our urgent plight, we must definitively exclude all Jews who, despite some sincere defectors, are a self-declared enemy race. Some people from the non-Jewish parts of the Middle East look entirely European, and a million kudos to them for keeping their bloodlines pure. But there are potential problems with accepting them into our ranks. How many have had relatives marry obvious Semites who share their country and Abrahamic faith, whether it be Maronite or Muslim or some other? How does that divide loyalties? How does that weaken the racialism which must be the basis of our society in the making? What about allegiance to Islam, an ideology hostile to racial integrity? We already have one Abrahamic religion honeycombed into our society with its own hostile ideology, its own loyalties. Do we really want another? I am sure that some exceptions can be made here, but not many. I do believe, as Dr. Pierce came to believe, that it is biological race that matters, not nationality. All people of unmixed European descent, no matter where they or their ancestors resided, except Israel, were and are eligible for National Alliance membership. Dr. Pierce even made exceptions for those with a small amount of Amerindian admixture, low enough for the variations not to be visible, to be down in the genetic noise. And anyone, regardless even of race, can support us. Not every non-white hates us or wishes for our demise. Believe me, I know. The true Hispanics of the Americas, who are of entirely European appearance and genetics, at least as much as white Americans in the U.S., should be welcomed into our struggle, as should those of every indigenous European national background. Anything else is throwing away allies, throwing away a chance for as much of a united front as we can make, throwing away millions of Anglo-Americans who will be repulsed and justifiably angered if totally European-descended Uncle Fred isn't allowed into the community. The purpose of the race that is to bring into being the race that is to come. Let's concentrate on that. Let's concentrate on being the ones who decide that. I have been in this cause of ours for nearly 40 years. I have seen and heard and read so much wasted verbiage about why Russians or Eastern Europeans generally, or Southern Europeans generally, or even other odd subracial or national combinations should be read out of the white race. I have heard it all, so please don't repeat it to me. I'm sick of it. The group or groups which coalesce to save our endangered race will be the ones who determine its genetic future. Beyond the obvious aesthetic that we know white when we see it, and a future that can include, but not be totally ruled by, accurate genetic testing, that's all we need to know. If the white future is primarily Russian or Hungarian, so be it. If the white future is primarily pan-European American with strong German, Anglo, and Irish components, so be it. If the white future is predominantly Greek or Italian or Bulgarian or Nordic, so be it. None of us are in a position to pick and choose right now, nor does such picking and choosing make sense during this crisis. Let's just admit that every single group and subgroup of Europeans has racially devolved. Due to dysgenics, due to genetic drift, due to past mixtures. Let's just admit that every single white nationality could be, and if we have anything to say about it, will be helped by a healthy dose of eugenics. But never forget this. We are targeted and marked for death as whites. It is as whites, not as dolichocephalic red Nordids or paleo-Atlantids or Western Europeans only, that we must become awakened and fight back.